I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me, if you would, in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua. We'll begin in just a moment, Joshua chapter 24, and I want you to make some notes about some things that I hope will be of great help to you. One of the themes we're beginning with in the year 2018, as the Lord allows us to live, is the American family, our mission field. The American family, our new frontier. And that's what it is. The cornerstone of all civilization is the family. And the devil is throwing his biggest attacks upon the family. The structure of the family is being hit hard. Your children and grandchildren have to learn a new vocabulary to be knowledgeable enough in this particular age to discuss what's really going on. This is the first time in human history, not that these things have been done, but they're being done with approval and vindication and with laws passed to protect them, to disrupt the family. And we've got a fight on our hands. And it requires courage and the right choices. And we have to make them. This is not a time for anybody to be cowardice. The fight has been brought to us. It is inescapable. And so the foundation is found in the Word of God. If I bought a new automobile and asked someone to tell me how to operate it, they'd hand me a book or some sort of CD or something that gave me the instructions. And I would supposedly learn everything I'm supposed to learn from those instructions about the operation of that automobile. Now, typically, when I get an automobile with an instruction book, Evelyn reads it and tells me how to operate it. But for all of us, for all time, for all people in all places, we have God's instruction book on the family. It means a return to the Lord and the things of God. This familiar passage, Joshua chapter 24. And the Bible says, if you'll follow along as I read the 15th verse, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The new frontier for all of us is to look again at the family and pray that God will help us bring the family back to God's instruction book, what the Lord says about it. That's not going to be an easy thing to do, because everywhere in every application, people are hearing something different than what God says about the family. It's been redefined in so many different ways. It's hard to imagine what some people are saying about it. I asked my iPhone the other day, how many different genders are now existing in our country?
Oh, me?
Yes. And she said 31. And the Bible says God created male and female. I doubt if any of you could keep up with a list of 31 different genders. Some people think it's just a laughing matter, but it's not funny. It's destructive. It's confusing. It's unraveling. If we read these passages of Scripture and follow the life of Joshua, we're going to find two things existing. One, we're going to find a leader, outspoken, standing up for God, speaking the truth in love. A man leading. The whole society is doing their best to effeminize men. We might as well admit it. And some Christian women are promoting that type of thing in the name of something else for their rights. But God designed not for men to be abusive. My wife and I share a marriage together for over half a century. We love one another. We respect one another. We're submitted to one another, surrendered to one another, committed to one another. But I believe God gave me the responsibility to lead my home and family. That doesn't mean because she doesn't have sense enough to do it, or she can't figure out what God says about it. It's just the way God designed it. Two heads of anything is a freak of a thing. And so may God help us. No women should have the terrible problem of living under a man who's abusive as a husband. He should care more about the need of his wife and his family than he cares about his own needs. But if you read the book of Joshua, you find there was a man in the house who spoke for the whole family and said, "This is the way it's going to be. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." And if you want some panty lace for a husband, and that's what you're promoting in your home, someday you'll have no respect for that man, and your home will be so deteriorated, you won't have it standing any longer. The second thing you're going to learn as we study the life of Joshua is that his heritage meant everything to him. That's another thing that's trying to be destroyed in our country. So many of the attacks that are going on, whether they're monumental things that won't be torn down, it's more than that. It's an attack upon our heritage. I have an interesting book that I recommend to people on the life of Churchill. It's called Churchill and God. Churchill is one of my favorite characters, and of course, outside the Bible. Andrew Jackson, another one of my favorite characters. But Churchill said, "I'm fighting World War II and we're going to win to save Christian civilization." That's how he put it in a nutshell. We're fighting and we're fighting to win to save Christian civilization. If Christian civilization falls, it'll all fall. He had that in his heart. There's debate about whether or not he himself was a Christian. But those are his statements, fighting to save Christian civilization. And the book of Joshua, Joshua concludes and comes to speak to the people. He rehearses again and again what we have as a heritage. And that heritage pointed us to what we ought to be now. The answers to our future being what it ought to be will be found in our past. And if people can destroy the past and rewrite our history, they can redefine what we're here for and change every goal that we're supposed to have in this human race. And this disorder that's being promoted without what we call the Bible Family Foundation, this disorder is what this world order now wants to be the order of all things. So I want to share some of these things just to look at. I want you to look in chapter 23 and verse 6. Joshua says, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses." We're not going to have success in this idea of pioneering, getting back to the Bible in the American family unless it's built on the Word of God. That's plain to see, isn't it? In verse 13, he says, the same chapter, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." We have a wonderful heritage in our country. We've been delivered from so many things and so many oppressive people. We've won wars to keep up the kind of life that we now have. And we have it. It's in our heritage. But God said to these people in ancient Israel, "If you throw this away, I will not drive out your enemies anymore." And I don't know how in the world we get the idea that we can continue to sin against God, destroy everything God's given us, refuse to follow the Lord, and expect God's blessings. God told His people, it doesn't work that way. In chapter 24 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time." He started with their heritage. Every Christian should understand the heritage they've been given from the Word of God and the work of God in this life. And then when it comes down to your declaration, and I'm only trying to hit these mountain peaks, He says, as He brought everyone together, "Choose you this day," in verse 15, "choose you this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." No one's exempt from this. You say, what difference does it make if I follow the truth? It makes all the difference in the world. If your family departs from it, if your home departs from it, I'm going to show you in just a moment where it's going to end. It's the saddest of all endings. And may God help us. Joshua said in verse 19, "And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God." In other words, and a jealous God. He said, if you think you can serve God and live in the world, you've got another thing coming. God desires that His children, people who know Him, make the choice to follow Him. You can't separate the two. If you look in the last verses, God makes an agreement with them. And the Word of God says in verse 31, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel." How many of us truly know what God has done for us? Again, in the book of Judges, chapter 2, the Bible says, beginning with verse 8, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." I took the graveside on yesterday, of O.T. Wood. A chaplain came because of his service in World War II and reminded all of us that this man didn't just enlist in the Second World War, he was distinguished in it. He was on 5 or 6 military campaigns, and any one of them could have cost him his life. And then he said, "This is a member of the greatest generation. The greatest generation." And now, one by one, they're leaving us. And then he questioned about what we have now. I say to you, there's a generation of believers. Some of them are your granddaddies and your grandmothers. Some of them are your mothers and daddies, who said with firmness and certainty, "We believe God is God, the Bible is true, the Lord is coming. We believe the church ought to be reverent and honor the Lord." I want to ask you something. When that generation is gone, and they will be, who do you think is going to take the stand that needs to be taken for the things of God, for the Christian home and family? I'm going to remind you of something. Look what the Bible says in the book of Judges as we read on. The Word of God says about Joshua's death and what happened in his generation. In chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 10, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." Think of that. A generation lived that knew the Lord. And the Word of God says in verse 6 of chapter 3, "And they took their daughters to be wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served other gods. In other words, you watch the nation of Israel and you see what happened. The gods that they fought against in this new land, this promised land that God gave them, this blessed area we talk about where the warring campaigns were won and the children of God moved forward. The whole idea was about the true God against the untrue gods, the false gods. But when that generation who fought for right things and fought for the true God and the right kind of home, who helped their children to understand there's a heritage to live and die for, when they were gone, the children not only forsook that, they married the people who served those other gods. I want you to imagine for a moment. I want you to imagine for a moment what kind of country we're going to have in a few years if we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we don't make the American family our new frontier, our mission field, trying to bring the standards back to what the Bible says and what God teaches us. It means you're going to one day look up and your grandchildren, some of your children, are going to marry somebody that's a part of another religion. They call them hunters now. If you go to our universities across America, it's the breeding ground for Islam. 56,000 Islamic professors in American universities. And the Islamic men are doing everything they can to meet and marry women who never were part of Islam. I hear their sad stories. I hear the story of a mother on another case who says, my daughter went to college as a girl and now has transgendered to a man and done all the biological things to look like a man, to grow a beard, all these things. When I went to see her, I thought, is this the baby that I held in my arms? My heart is broken. The woman gave me her testimony, and rightly so. I'm saying to you, we can't just sit by and think it's going to all change. It's not going to change. A war is on. It's against the home and family. And those of us who know the Lord and know the truth need to engage in it with all of our heart. I say the battle is worth fighting. And God will turn the tide if His children get involved in it, as He's instructed us to get involved. Let's pray together, may we?